Hello and welcome to Voices of Parenting Podcast. I am so glad you're here. My name is Mussy Diskin. I am an advanced nurtured heart approach trainer. I am a parenting coach. I am also an inner wealth coach, which means that I help people rediscover and connect to the people that they truly were all along, but may have gotten forgotten along the way. So to find out more about me and what I offer, you can check out mussydiskin.com. Contact me through there. Respond to this podcast. Find me on social media. I would love to connect and I would love to hear your feedback. To sponsor a Voices of Parenting podcast episode, please reach out to energizinghearts@gmail.com. Thank you for being here and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Hello, everybody. Today, I have a special guest all the way from Australia. We're so glad this time was able to work out that we were able to get on Zoom together. And well, it's amazing what today's technology can do to bring people together. I have been watching, hearing, learning from Lillian in little tidbits over time as she is a huge powerhouse of nurtured heart and just parenting support. And I'm so excited to share you with my audience today and for all of us to get to know more about your story and what you've learned. So first of all, if you could just give us a little introduction of who you are today and what you offer, what you do.
So I'm a teacher originally. I haven't been in a traditional classroom setting for many, many years. Married to an amazing man. I have two sons in their late 30s and early 30s and no grandchildren. And I started out my career as a teacher and then I went to work with my husband in his business. And at that time, our son, our younger son, was very, very, very challenging. We put him into childcare at age 3 so that I could go and support my husband in his business. And the childcare workers just couldn't deal with him. He was so challenging. We lived in a large country town back then that had like 5 childcare centres and he had a stint in all of them because basically they just couldn't deal with him. So from that, you know, we were just searching for answers. And that really started, I guess, like that 25, 26 years ago, has been the journey that's got me to where I am now. So yes, I am a teacher and yes, I'm used to, you know, educating and sharing with people, but I never thought I'd be a parenting strategist. I never thought I'd be the author of 6 books and I never thought I would have had the journey that I've had. But thankfully, our younger son, our beautiful, intense, amazing younger son has taken our family on this journey. So I call myself a parenting strategist. I work with families, with schools, with any organization who wants to learn how to relationship in a more uplifting and positive way. But predominantly, I work one-on-one or in small groups with families.
Amazing. And you just said you wrote 6 books, Lillian?
Yeah.
We're going to have to put the links to all of those in the description.
Sure.
So people can access that. Yeah, you've done a lot in your life. That's incredible. Well, if you could take us back, if we could be a fly on the wall for a minute of like what it was like in your home back in the day when he was being sent from daycare to daycare and the bad old days before all the journeying.
It was really challenging, especially because my first son is the quiet, compliant, cooperative, well-behaved kid. So he was 7.5 years old when his younger brother was born. And he was just like an easy to look after kid, like, you know, never got in trouble at kindy or school. Like he just was a regular kid who just did regular things, but nothing, you know, nothing outstanding. And then his younger brother comes along 7.5 years later and totally turned our world upside down. So my husband was beside himself, like he really just had no idea what we had our hands, you know, like what we were dealing with. He was really intense from birth. Like even when he was a baby, if he wasn't breastfeeding or sleeping, he was screaming. So he went into childcare, I think, to give me a break at age 3 to 4. Quite transparently, and I went back to work. And the childcare industry, the carers, the educators, they just couldn't deal with him. He was very intense. He was very hyperactive. He was could be aggressive. And let me backpedal. My husband and I are calm, passive, peaceful people. We've not even raised our voices to each other in 35 years of being together. So the example didn't come from home. His older brother was quiet. But he was just this full-on kid from the get-go. And I think it was in the fourth childcare centre, so he's now 4 years old, they said, look, Lillian and Andrew, we need to get your son assessed. There's something not right here. So they brought in a childhood psychologist who initially diagnosed him with childhood depression, would you believe, which I'm like, depression? maybe mother depression. But actually I was diagnosed with depression. That's another whole story, which was crazy. So we were both diagnosed within a short period of time of each other and both recommended antidepressants. So my just 4 year, or he wasn't even quite four when they first diagnosed him. They recommended antidepressants for a preschooler, which just blew my mind. I'm like, this cannot be the case, you know, like, I understood a little bit about his diagnosis, and I'm not a fan of diagnosis, but I understand why they have them, so that we can, you know, kind of understand. But he was diagnosed with ODD, which I didn't know that much about, oppositional defiant disorder, as well as ADHD. But when they recommended medication, I'm like, no, this isn't a path we wanted to take. So we went and sought advice from, you know, from your GP to your pediatrician, psychologist, psychiatrists. They all diagnosed him with the same thing, and the only recommendation they could give us was to medicate. And I'm like, this is crazy. For us personally, that was not a choice we wanted to take, so we basically had to go out and seek our own you know, advice and our own research. And remember, this is like 26, 27 years ago, when things weren't as readily as available as they are now. But we did, and we worked through it. We had some years that were better than others, and we had some challenging times along the way, but we got there.
Wow. So, I mean, it sounds like the people outside of your home really couldn't handle whatever he was bringing to the table. But at home, what was that like for you? Like, what was going on in your house?
It was equally challenging. So I consider myself to be a pretty, you know, positive person. Like, I use positive language, you know, in my teaching and in my other businesses. And I thought I communicated in a really positive way, but it wasn't really until we had to parent this child that I realized how very, very upside down my communication was in my home. Like, I would go to school as a teacher and be a heck of a lot more positive, I believe, in the classroom. And then I'd get home, pick up this child, and then, like, I just felt like I just can't do this. His intensity was so challenging. It affected all of our relationships, including my eldest son, who ended up getting very, very depressed because of the disharmony in our home, and we could never do anything because of his younger brother. We could never go anywhere. On the few odd occasions where we got babysitters in, they said, never again, they weren't coming back again. So it was really difficult for us to do stuff as a family, and we all suffered. So my husband and I, even though we were really solid, it rocked our relationship. It certainly rocked the relationship between the two brothers. My husband was so supportive of me because I was his, and those of us in Nurtured Heart Approach know what the favorite toy is. I was definitely the favorite toy. So I copped a lot of the abuse from my son, and it was really challenging. So it put all of our relationships to the test in numerous, numerous ways. Yeah, it was difficult. In those early years, so when we talked about in childcare, age 3 to 5, they were very traumatic years. And then age 5 to 12, we kind of navigated that somewhat better. Like, we really looked at a lot of things like food and diet, toxicity. We worked a lot on what we thought was self-esteem and self-worth, but nothing compared to Nurtured Heart Approach. So 3 to 5 was challenging. 13 to 15 was 10x as challenging. So by the time he was 13, so we moved interstate. Because of all the challenges, he got kicked out of yet more schools. He went from primary school to primary school to primary school to secondary school to another secondary school, all within 2 to 3 years. So it was really, really challenging. Nobody could cope with him. We sent him to a fancy private school. That didn't help. He then went to another regular, school. That didn't help. So we were beside ourselves. I didn't know about nurtured heart approach. I wish I did, but I didn't. But fortunately, we managed to connect with somebody from the States who was not a nurtured heart approach person, but had very similar philosophies. He taught us all about the power of our words, about what we, focus on and the words we use and how impacting they are. And we worked one-on-one with him, and he totally changed our lives. So we mentored with him for close to 2 years. And so from when my son was, 14 to 16, for example, and he totally changed our lives. So we still hadn't heard about nurtured heart approach, but we'd got back on track really, really well.
Curious about, so nurtured heart or not nurtured heart, just that transformation that you described in those few years from, I think it was 13 to 16.
Yeah.
You have this kid that nobody can handle and is just, and you said, you're the favorite toy. It's very upside down with you, all of this abuse coming towards you. Can you talk about what that transformation looked like inside of you as the parent, and then reflect on how that, what it was that affected him, what it was that turned it around for him?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because, 15, 16, 17 years later, I still feel emotional about this. So the pivoting moment for me was where we got yet another phone call from his high school. So he's now in his last school. So he went from the private secondary school to a regular kind of high school. And we had just started mentoring with our mentor, Frank, who actually funnily reminds me of Howard, that same sort of eccentric, quirky, amazing kind of person. Like, he was kind of similar really in some ways. And we had just started mentoring with him, very, very just started. So we had an incident where I got yet another, call from the school. They were common, I knew the school number off by heart, and it was okay. He's mucked up again. This time it's really serious. He's going to be suspended for 20 days. And this was almost at the end of the year. So this was the end of year nine, which for you guys in the States, that's sort of like 15 to 16 in that age group. So we got this phone call from the school, and they said, look, we're not only calling you to say that we need you and your husband to come up to discuss what's gone or happened, but your son has disappeared. He's not at school. So he did have a mobile phone back then, and I just figured that he would just come home. I was working from home in those days. I would just figure that he would come home when he was ready. So I didn't stress too much. That was kind of in the afternoon after lunch, so it was still in school hours. So I just waited, and he did come home at a reasonable time, like that he would normally come home after school. And instead of me doing what I should have and said, how was your day, love? What did you get up to? Like, even I got a phone call from the school, and I'd love for you to share with me, from your perspective, what happened. I went straight into absolute upside down parenting, and another nurtured heart term, I know. I went straight into focusing on all the negative. How could you do this again? I'm sick of these phone calls from the school. Yet another one. What have you done now? You're going to be suspended for 20 days. Dad and I have to go back up to the school again. This, what are we going to do with you, type of thing. Now, keep in mind, he's now, he might have been just short of 15, but he's already taller than me, bigger than me, and here I am having, speaking to him like this. And then he basically said, bleep, 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 use your imagination. I'm out of here. And this is what makes me feel so, still gets me. Like, I should have been his biggest supporter and fan, and I wasn't. And what happened, what happened after that was that he went off and he got obliviated. He consumed, drank, I don't know what, like over the next 4 or 5 hours. So my husband came home from work, quite late, say 7 p.m. in the evening. He still hadn't come home. And so we decided that I would stay home in case he came home, and then my husband went out in the car looking for him. And he eventually, it's quite a story, police were involved and everything, but we eventually found him in a drunken stupor in the gutter. Like, he was so inebriated, he didn't even know his name, he didn't know where he was, he had consumed goodness knows what. I don't even think he knew what he'd consumed in the end. And when we got him home, my instinct, my natural upside down parenting instinct, was to yell and scream and how could you, what have you done, you know, all of that negative stuff. But thankfully, I took a deep breath, which we know is, you know, known as a reset in nurtured heart approach. We got him on a mattress on the floor, and then we called our mentor in the States. Luckily, the timing was right for us to do that. And we said, this has happened. What do we do? And he coached us through just focusing on being his biggest supporter and fan, not worrying about what's happened, not questioning what's happened, but just being there to really support him and nurture him and just focus on him getting through this and us getting through this. So once again, it wasn't 100% nurtured heart, but it was really very close. And it took him 2 days to sober up, 2 days before he was really with it enough to be able to have a conversation. And definitely if we'd had known nurtured heart, we would have done a few things differently. But I think in retrospect, we did reasonably well. We did pretty well. And that was really the beginning of our journey, of our healing journey. So in the Revolting Child book, I tell that whole story from, you know, from my pregnancy right through until that event and beyond. And when I published that book, and this is a story that people are probably sick of hearing me say, but I tell it over and over and over because I think it's so important. When I wrote that third book, we were already pretty well known as, you know, speakers. We've been doing seminars. My husband and I had done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seminars, live seminars we used to do back in the days. And I'd done a lot of parenting work, so we were pretty well known. So we were actually asked to come and do a book launch for the third book. And we did one, and then we were asked by some other people to do a second one, and they said, would your son consider coming along? And my younger son. He'd now just turned 16, and we, in the last less than 1 year, so in the last 9-10 months, we had had huge transformation, huge transformation, not perfection, but huge transformation. So he comes along to this book launch. He just sits quietly down the back. People knew he was there, but he was just sitting quietly down the back. And at the end, when we did the Q&A, they'd asked Andra and I a bunch of questions, and then a man put his hand up and said, can I ask your son a question? And I kind of just looked across the room and, you know, he's, I guess, you know, he didn't look too enthusiastic, but he stood up and the gentleman said, okay, we've just heard your mum and dad's story of where things were and where things are now, and we can see you here this evening. And he said, my question is, what was it that took you from where you were, like less than 12 months ago, in trouble with the police, in trouble at school, taking things he shouldn't have, hanging out with kids he shouldn't have, doing things he shouldn't have, very dysfunctional relationships. What was it, he's asking Caleb, what was it that took you from that space to the space you're in now? And I could see his mind tick over just for a few seconds. And then he said, when I saw the effort that my mum and dad were going to be the best parents they could be, I just wanted to be the best son. And to me, that's what nurtured heart's about as well, because when our kids see us seeing them, because so many kids today don't feel seen, they don't feel heard, especially as they get into their teen years. Like, it's not like mum and dad don't love them or they don't love their mum and dad, but they're not on the same page. And, you know, that kid's, what we know now as their portfolio, is full of a whole bunch of I'm not good enough stuff. So when our son, and he knew he was challenging, right? It wasn't like he thought we were just terrible parents. He knew he challenged us to the max. We've had some beautiful conversations in our adult years. He said, I knew I challenged you, but he didn't really appreciate us as much until he saw us seeing him for who he was and appreciating him and his qualities and his greatness, even all the crappy stuff, you know, and letting him know that no matter what, no matter what you do, no matter what trouble you get into, we are here for you. We're your biggest supporter and fan, and we are here, you know, to be your loving, you know, parents. And that really changed things. And even from that point on, like, the relationships just got better and better, all of our interconnected relationships. Prior to that, he had the biggest blow up with his brother just a little while before that incident, where he basically punched his much older brother, you know, 7.5 year older brother, who was now in his 20s and he's like 15, punched his brother, caused a split lip, then went and rampaged the house, smashed up the house. Got a belt and smacked, like, we had just moved into a beautiful new home, gorgeous home, newly painted, beautiful feature walls and everything. He smashed everything, punched a hole in his door and caused all this damage. And it was tough, but I love to now focus on, you know, the journey beyond that, because there's so much more than the stuff they did wrong and the, you know, the challenging times that we had then. And I'm truly, truly, truly grateful for our mentor, Frank, and for finding Nurtured Heart, because I know that you know this, Musi, because you work with a lot of parents. There are so many parents out there who just want that better relationship, whether their child's 5 or 15. But we don't, as parents, know how we are doing. And I love talking about the upside down parenting, because I would hazard to guess that 8 or 9 out of 10 parents, not Nurtured Heart parents, but regular parents, are parenting pretty much upside down a lot of the time, you know. And it doesn't mean we're bad parents or, you know, not loving parents, but it's just what we know. And sometimes it's generational, you know, we bring that from prior, from our, you know, upbringing and our childhood. But I had good parents. I'm not saying I didn't have good parents, but there was still a lot of upside down stuff going on, as there probably is in many households today. And when we teach this concept through Nurtured Heart, I know that parents are like, duh, why didn't I get that? Why didn't I know that? Why aren't we taught this stuff?
Thank you for sharing all of that. Oh, my goodness. And I know there are parents out there that are in that situation with a kiddo who's just tearing apart the house, getting in trouble with the police, who's hearing this and is being like, oh, my gosh, there's hope. So, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen listening to this, we are going to have a second episode with Lillian. So don't be scared that I'm closing up right now. She will be back to say more. There's so many questions I have burning inside of me, but I do want to respect our audience's time. If you could tell us, if anybody does want to hear more, find out more about you, find out maybe about possibly working with you, where can they go? How can they find you, and what can they expect?
Okay, thank you, Musi. I appreciate you allowing me to share that. So I'm very easy to find on Facebook, Lillian Reiki, Parenting Strategist. My website is parentsupportnetwork.com.au. I also have a Facebook page called that as well. Email is lillian@parentsupportnetwork.com.au. So it's all Parent Support Network. Facebook's probably the easiest if people are on Facebook. I do offer a free first consultation for anybody in this, you know, neck of the woods. And the book, actually, the Revolting Child book, is for free. You can download that for free on my website and read that, the whole book. And, yeah, I love to have conversations with anybody, particularly those who are feeling challenged at the moment, or even parents or educators who are cruising, who are doing okay, but just really want to notch it up a little bit. I know that the work that we both do, Musi, is so, so very important. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, and I'm going to put all of that information in the show notes, so you feel free to read those and find them and click on the link so that you can get in touch with Lillian too. Lillian, thank you so much for sharing, and we will see you very soon in the next episode.
Thanks, Musi.
Hey, wait, don't go yet. Take a minute to find the beautiful quality that you have, that you appreciate about yourself.